Amen? Because it's a plan of escape. It's a plan of victory. It's a plan of blessing. It's a pouring out of His glory presence plan. Yes, things are happening. God is good. All the time. You know, I think they're finally figuring it out. People are awakening. Again, we know what's going on in Israel and all kinds of stuff globally and what's happening. And really what's happening, because again, it's impossible. Israel's got the highest technology and the strongest borders. They couldn't get through unless they were allowed. It's just impossible. And look what's going on in this country. I mean, they're allowing the borders to be open. Amen? So we know that there are Antichrist cell groups in this country. And that's all they have to do is give a sign. So I'm telling every American to arm yourself. Get armed. If you can arm yourself, get armed. Because this is what happened in Israel. You know what happened? They took their right to bear arms away. And only those that were either officers or in the military or whatever had arms. So there was a testimony on the news. And there was this father had three little girls. And he saw that all these terrorists were going around, or Antichrist dudes. I don't want to, terrorists is terrorists. You're Antichrist, that's it. You know, you're either with Christ or you're not with Christ. And they would go around kicking doors in and killing people, shooting them. He told his three little girls to go hide underneath the bed, and he pulled out his gun. When I kicked the door, he killed the first one, and the rest of them ran. Now, just think if everybody in Israel was armed. The reason why they didn't arm, the reason why they removed arms from the people is because they knew this was going to eventually come. And that's what they've been trying to do in this country here, too. This is the world global Antichrist regime. Look at, they may have good names, they may look good, but behind it all, they're evil. Even Netanyahu is evil. They're all evil. Because they should have never let this happen. Slaughtering people. Children. It's pure evil. And they allowed it to happen. It didn't have to happen. 9/11 was allowed to happen. Why Bush was reading second or third grade kindergarten, whatever, books with kids. And he knew it was going to happen. 2 days before that, they lost $2 trillion. How do you lose $2 trillion? Let's see, it must have fallen out of my pocket. Does everybody get this? I mean, the world has been run by the Antichrist regime for so long. For so long. And now God is, it's time for the vengeance of the Lord to begin. But vengeance can't be released unless exposure is released. Does everybody get it? Exposure. God is exposing. It's explosive exposure right now. You can't cross. In other words, we're in a year of crossover. Open doors, things to that degree. But things got to be removed. In other words, if there's something blocking a bridge, you got to remove it. You can't cross over. So everything right now is being exposed so that we can cross over in the process. And in the book of Revelation 21, in the first verse, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Now think about this for a second. So the earth and the heavens were gone. Hello? That means God's doing a new thing. Amen? So we knew that the earth and the heavens are going to be gone. Because that there's a whole nother arena that God is going to bring it into place, which is the true reality. The true reality realm, not the temporary reality realm. He's going to bring in the true reality realm. So, you know, when you think about this, let's read the scripture a little bit further. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, he's explaining a temporary reality realm, basically a place of testing. A place of testing for an eternal purpose. See, for you and me as believers, we can't allow this temporary to interfere with the eternal. We're always battling through it all the time. We're hard-pressed. It's constantly around us, on us, invading us, interfering. Everything we look at, everything we hear, everything, it's always lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Always trying to promote self. We're, you know, trying to distract us, get us into a place of anger and frustration and confusion so that it brings, see, when you fall into those places, you bring yourself to you. You put your eyes on you instead of him. And we are in this time right now where you see it globally. Everything that is going on globally is an awakening process by God Almighty. Why? To rescue. To rescue. Amen? And so that we can come to this area where we know that this is a temporary reality. This is a realm that's temporary. But we're heaven bound. We don't want to get caught up in this. We know that the evil and wickedness is there. We know that the ruler of this earth is Satan. We know his regimes and his plans. We know his tactics. We know his attacks. We know, you know, how he emotionally manipulates. You know, we know that he lies. We know all these things. And because we know these things, God is going to test us at the level of how much we know them, how much we put into practice them. See, what we do here is waiting for, is affecting what we, our position home, where we stand in eternity. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, this is a place of what? Testing. This whole thing is nothing but a test. Why? Because God holds the beginning and the end. He's still in control no matter what it looks like and no matter what it seems. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Hello, there's a part of a test. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Do you hear that? All things are for your sakes, that grace, having sped through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Phenomenal. Therefore, we do not what? We don't lose heart. We're steadfast. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we know what's going on. Look at, you know you're going to be afflicted. Everybody gets afflicted somehow. No matter what. Welcome to the earth. It's a planet of affliction. Amen? But we don't want to stand in that puddle all day long. Amen? Hallelujah. So what God is doing, the power of God, not of man. So he's expressing and exposing the area towards not the power of man, but the power of God. So we go through these trials and tribulations. Amen? The power of God, not of man. Holding on to the eternity, not temporary. Holding on to what? Eternity, not temporary. So what are you doing? You want to build treasures in heaven. Amen. You can have all the storehouses here and it ain't going to do you no good. You can own all kinds of things and it's not going to do you any good. That's whether you're building storehouses in heaven or not. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. Ooh. That means the challenges and trials that you're going through is actually producing the glory of God in you because you're dying daily. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we see, we do not see. For what we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance, endurance. So we're going to need endurance to grab hold of eternity. See, your faith connects you to eternity. That's why you're always grabbing hold of every day of eternity. You're grabbing hold of it. It always reminds me of a skier, a water skier with a rope. If he lets go, you know what happens? He sinks. The only way to keep cruising is to hold on. So for me and you to keep cruising, we got to hold on, no matter what's going on. Oh, hallelujah. So the sufferings of the temporary is not compared to the eternal. Again, treasures in heaven. We labor unto the Lord. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we what? Labor in vain. Many people labor in vain and they don't even realize it. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Temporary reality. But we got to keep moving through it. We can't get stuck in it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Remember, grace is what? The plan of escape. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Come on, everybody say, I glory in tribulations. You love suffering. Knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Yeah. And perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Glory in tribulations, trials, and challenges. Why? So Christ can be expressed. Everything is about expressing Christ. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 7. So at the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony, with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Sound familiar? Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horns, flute, harp, lyre, in psaltery, in symphony, with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. See, many people worship the gold image already. They're servants of money, not of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Do you realize how much that cost me? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Ooh. So he was actually proclaiming to be God. In other words, where God can deliver you from my hands. But there's something weird about this, in it, because he wouldn't have even given him an opportunity to worship. Does everybody understand that? Because the decree went out that said, if you don't, you die. And they chose not to. And they didn't die. Because God has the last say. So he said, okay, look at it. I'm going to give you another opportunity, actually. Which discredited himself. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We're not even going to answer you. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Oh, man, what a word. talk about faith. These guys were connected, man. There wasn't a concern or worry. We're not worshiping your God. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. In other words, if we burn, we're not going to do it anyways. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. In other words, even if you got to the front door, you'd cook. In fact, some of the soldiers that dragged these guys over there, brought them over there, they died bringing them over because of the heat of the furnace. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So those guys died trying to bring them there. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus. Think about this. Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus. He was like the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, oh, hallelujah, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fiery furnace. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yield their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except for their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as ash, hemp, because there is no other God who can deliver this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, this is powerful. God is faithful. Their faith was unwavering. Today, many false prophets, idols, and worshipers of money are being tested by fire to bring glory. Let me tell you, your test by fire is to bring glory to Jesus and bring salvation to the world. In our challenges and trials, a world of the temporary reality must see Jesus. They must see Jesus, the giver of life. The king of Babylon saw the true king and his creator. God is in control. Everything that we go through and all of our trials and tribulations, everything must turn to the character of Christ. Not the character of self, not the old man, but the character of Christ. That's how the world's going to get saved. through the character of Christ. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Who's got control? God. Why? Because Satan came to him and asked him, can I sift Simon? Can I sift Peter? Somebody get it? Listen, before your challenges and sifting, God grants the permission. Unless you touch something, agree with something, it opens the door to the enemy to access you. Does everybody understand that? Other than that, the devil can't touch you unless God gives permission for it. And look at this. He didn't give permission, did he? But he says, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So God knew that Peter was going to do something. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you may know me, that you know me. So he knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. But he said, I'm going to pray that your faith maintain. In other words, that you hold on, even though you made a mistake, even though you got deceived. I'm going to pray that you hold on. And after you come out of this oppressive state, strengthen your brethren and tell them what had you gone through and make it a testimony. Again, Satan asked permission to sift Peter. Jesus prayed that after Peter fell prey to deception, his faith would cause him to return to Jesus and strengthen others from his testimony. See, so your trials, your tribulations, even though it seems like, oh gosh, you know, Lord, I had this mistake, whatever. Express Christ. Hold on, no matter what. No matter what's going on. But don't stay there. Don't justify your mistakes. Get out of them. Because if you justify and reason them, God will hold that against you. He'll say, you brought that on yourself. No. Now you'll have to reap what you sowed. Does everybody understand? See, God knows everything and sees everything. He knows exactly what you're doing behind closed doors. He knows everything. He knows the intent of your heart, what you're hiding, what you're exposing. He knows it all. You can't care. You can't do it. But let me tell you, he either promotes you or demotes you. They'll hold you in that place until you finally bring it to light. Everything to light. No matter what's going on. No matter what's here. He knows the secrets of everything. Amen? There's nothing you can hide from him. And you can't outrun him. But again, most of the afflictions we get is because we bring it on ourselves. Amen? Malachi 3. But how you respond in these, is were you expressing Christ or the old man, is vitally important. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare a way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offering and righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. and I will come near you for judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away aliens because they do not fear me, says the Lord. Refiner's fire. Why? Because refined means perfect. He's bringing us into a place of perfection. Perfection. Where's the perfection? In the heart. It's called a pure heart. That's perfection. A pure heart. Amen? If there isn't a pure heart, then you're not being perfected. In John chapter 10, verse 1. No compromise. No laziness. Forward. Stand up. Fight. Glory. Verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same is a thief and is a what? Robber. Are there many people trying to climb up another way? Amen. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep bear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep do what? Follow him. For they know his what? Voice. Well, if you can't follow him in here, you ain't going to follow him out there. Hallelujah. And what happens? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. In other words, a voice of a stranger. But will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. But many people know the voice of a stranger more than they do God. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Hallelujah. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to what? Except to what? Steal, kill, destroy. Hallelujah. I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me even, so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which is not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Wow. Abundant life. Thief. In other words, who's the thief? The devil and his followers. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, deceive, mislead, distract. John 8, and start at 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, in other words, if you had a relationship with God, he'd be your father. You would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are not able to what? Listen to my word. Why do you not understand? Because you're not able to listen or able to hear. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. There's those that don't believe your words of testimony are servants of evil. Knowing or unknowing, they serve the devil. Let me share with you right now the Quran. Listen to what it states. That Allah, their God, in that book, Allah, hello, is the chief deceiver of deceivers. That's in their own Quran. He's the chief deceiver of deceivers, right? In our Bible, the great deceiver is Satan. So their God is Satan, and they don't even know it. Does everybody get this? And those who follow the Quran serve the devil. Why? There's fruits of hatred, murder, and lies, just like their father, the devil. And these people don't even know it. And thinking they're killing for God. Those who believe in the Quran are servants of Satan. It's that simple. And there's many other false doctrines out there. But this seems to be the big global religious organization, according to this book, that is fully antichrist and servants of the devil. Is everybody okay? And that's what's trying to take over the world. In fact, the antichrist will come from the Middle East. He will most likely be a Muslim. Hello? Because he'll be a deceiver. He'll be a follower of the Quran or a promoter of the Quran. Well, the promoters of the temporary realm, not the eternal, are they? They value life very minimum. They think killing themselves and killing others is honor to God. And it's all according to the flesh, the physical. But denying yourself is what pleases the true God. Not killing yourself or others. Amen? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. There's a difference between righteousness and self-righteousness. Amen? For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So think about how many people have been murdered. There's no eternal life abiding in them. Amen. The children of God and the children of the devil manifested by their fruits of desire. Psalm 18, verse 31. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to what? Make war, and that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as dust before the wind, and cast them out like dirt in the streets. We are to be pursuers of our enemies. The enemies of God are our enemies. Amen. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? An enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Don't become a friend of the world. Why? Because it's a temporary place, and then you become temporary. Does everybody get it? Let's close Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. See, what might seem good to you may seem evil to God. Amen. So be careful. That's the conclusion. Fear God. Fear him. And whatever you do, whatever your trial is, make sure you're expressing Christ. That's what it's about. That's how the world will get saved. Because everything you and I do, got to express Christ. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. We ask that you seal it with the anointing and the blood of Christ, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.